King's Kids, we have junior church set up. If you are in second grade on down, you are dismissed. Miss Jerrica is our teacher today. We have a missions emphasis this Sunday, so Miss Jerrica here will take you. They'll be just through those double doors, and the next set of double doors. We have a little snack. Other kids who are remaining in the service, we also have a children's bulletin. Do you guys get a children's bulletin? You're good? Do you need one? Do we have any more children's bulletins? We got some visitors over here. Hook them up, man. Sometimes you need a little reminder. So if you don't have a children's bulletin and you would like one, even if you're 60, you can have one too. Something to doodle on. That'll keep you busy. Sometimes, or color. Or be poetic. It's got some little crafts and activities on there. It's always good to have something to do. When the old guy talking can't hold your attention, it comes around. That's the way it works. All right, the stragglers are making their way out. Be in prayer for Shelby and Haley. Haley tested positive for COVID yesterday. It was a rapid test, so we're going to try and help her get a more extensive test this week to confirm that rapid test yesterday. She was feeling under the weather, and since she's pregnant, and since she lives with Shelby, she needs all the help she can get. I don't know, you know, he's quarantined there, and I don't know who's getting the worst end of that stick. Her. Yeah, he's going to drive her crazy, so we'll see how that goes. We miss you guys, so get well. We'll see you when we can see you. Also, heavy hearts. Harold Logan passed away this morning at about 6:10 a.m., surrounded by family, loved. Not a sudden loss, but a deep loss. So pray for his wife, Mita, as she starts making funeral arrangements. And just looking around in the crowd here, I'm not trying to air out your laundry or anything, but that song, Come to the Altar, that's what you need to do today, right now. We're going to have an altar call right here at the beginning of the service. How weird is that? I'm going to pray in a minute. If you have something heavy on your heart, the altar is open. A wayward son or daughter, come pray for them. Living paycheck to paycheck, don't know how you're going to make ends meet. Come pray about that. Somebody you know is COVID positive, don't know how it's going to work out. Come pray for that. The spiritual well-being of somebody in your family you love and are worried about. A heart ablation coming. You come pray about that. Ready? Will you pray with me at the altar this morning? Come. If you've got somebody to pray about, something heavy, join me. And if you can't make it up here, that's okay too. You can pray in your seat. That is totally legal. You are allowed to pray where you are. God hears your prayer. God knows your prayer. He knows your heart. Loss, suffering, pain, loneliness, money problems, relationship problems. Has anybody told you Christmas is coming? You're stressed out about that. How are we going to pull that off? How? Pray. God, we need your help. There are so many reminders that we can't do this without you. We pretend like we can do it. We pretend every day like this life is ours. And yet, every molecule of oxygen that we breathe is yours. You own it, you made it. Every fiber, every cell of our bodies, you knit together in our mother's womb. You own us. You own us. You own our hearts. You own our lungs. And you own the very air that we breathe. So teach us to worship you like we sang with every breath, with every moment. And if we forget, remind us. Our hearts are heavy for people we love. Our hearts are heavy for circumstances we cannot control. But you can. You are big enough to help all of us at the same time. And what we need is your Spirit in our hearts. We need the Spirit of Jesus to remind us that this world is not our home. We don't live here. Remind us that we are strangers and pilgrims and foreigners in a sin-filled world, in a hurting world. But help us not to live in a shell either. Help us to take your gospel, your grace, your truth, and love our neighbors. We pray for the salvation of our family and friends. We pray that your light would break through us and show them the truth. We pray you would make ends meet for those who are hurting. We pray that you would heal hearts, physical and spiritual. Be with the Logan family in a supernatural way. Help them to honor, respect, and bury Harold. Watch over the Maddox family as they quarantine. Watch over that baby she is carrying. Our hearts are heavy today, but that's why we are here, God. We are here to open your word, to learn more about you, so that tomorrow we can live by faith yet again. That is our prayer. Help us to learn to live by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Take as long as you need to. Hebrews chapter 3, open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 3, we are going to read verses 1 through 6, like a hot mess.
Yeah, that was uncool, but okay. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in his house, for he had been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For each house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end.
Thank you. There's an outline in the bulletin if you want to follow along and take notes. I give the children a children's bulletin. I give the grown-ups a grown-ups bulletin for doodling, keeping track, staying engaged. Chapters 3 and 4. Well, the whole book of Hebrews, by the way, as a reminder, is about Jesus, proving that he is not just superior, not just better, not just nicest, but absolutely Jesus is the holiest of all. And there are a lot of holy things. There are a lot of good things. Jesus is better. There are a lot of great things. Jesus is superior. There are a lot of fantastic things. Jesus is the holiest of all. Chapters 3 and 4. Chapters 1 and 2, Jesus is greater than holier than what? What was chapters 1 and 2 about? Holier than angels and the message of angels, which would include the Old Testament. Jesus is holier than angels. So if an angel comes to you, don't worship him. Angel reveals himself to you. Only do what he says in accordance with God's word. You can be deceived. There are angels of light who are demons. And so we don't place our hope and faith in angels. That's a dangerous thing. Jesus is holier than angels and the message of angels. And now chapters 3 and 4, we shift. Chapters 3 and 4, Jesus is holier than Moses and the promised land. Again, it was the Jewish Christians who really were hung up on angels. It applies to us too. Don't be distracted by anything else in this world that might be bright and flashy. It was the Jewish Christians who came out of Judaism, embraced Jesus as their Messiah, who were in danger of going backwards, making too much of angels, making too much of the message of angels, the law. It was the Jewish Christians who were really in danger of going back to Moses and who were thinking that since they were living in Jerusalem or in Judea, that they had arrived into the promised land. And these sections are heavy. Jesus is holier than Moses. Now, for some people, those will be fighting words. Like, whoa. Can you get any higher and more important than Moses? Well, when it comes to the law, not really. And so to say Jesus is holier, this is not a small statement. Today's passage, Hebrews 3, 1 through 6, holier than Moses. Holier than Moses. That needs to echo. Holier than Moses in more ways than one. In all aspects, Jesus is holier than Moses. And that would take some time. If you had grown up your whole life idolizing Moses, this would take some meditating, some chewing to really flesh this out. What does it mean that Jesus is holier than Moses? Well, thankfully, the writer of Hebrews is going to develop that thought. And today's paragraph I've got divided up into three sections. Called homeward. That's the main idea of this first paragraph. Called homeward. And don't cheat and go ahead, and don't show the slides yet. Called homeward, counted honorable, confident hope. That's the progression we are making. The big idea, however, is this idea that we are called homeward. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, there it is, consider Jesus. That little phrase, consider Jesus, is a really nice way of telling you what to do. Has your mom ever done that? Would you consider making your bed? Would you consider doing the dishes? Or your dad, would you consider taking out the trash? Would you consider getting a job? You know what they're really saying? Do this. Now. And they're saying it in a very nice way. And so too with the Bible. It has a thou shalt attitude to it, right? Do this. But it also has a don't do this. And then it sometimes is very kind. Consider Jesus. But that is in your face. Those of you who have a heavenward, heavenly calling, here is a command. Think about, meditate upon, make the focus of your thoughts Jesus. Consider him more than you consider what your next meal will be. Ooh. Consider Jesus more than you are considerate to other people. Be considerate, consider, think of, prioritize him. Consider Jesus more than you think about yourself. That is a heavy way of saying follow God. Consider Jesus. Like when? All the time. How? That's the fun of the Christian life. Putting Jesus first in every little thing. The command. Consider Jesus. What's so special about Jesus? And then we have some explanation here. Well, he is the apostle and high priest of our confession, who is faithful to him who appointed him. That's faithful to God, just like Moses was faithful. Consider Jesus. Jesus is both an apostle and a high priest. And that's kind of an unusual thing to say. Don't we think of apostles as some people who talk about Jesus? Yes. Jesus appointed apostles to represent Jesus to other people. So an apostle is somebody who represents God to other people. Jesus represents God the Father to all of humanity. That makes him the apex apostle, the apostle of all apostles. He is representing God to humanity. That's your next blank. Apostles represent God to humanity. That's what it means to be an apostle. And then the next one, high priests represent humanity to God. It's the reverse. The apostle represents God to humanity, and the high priest represents humanity before God. And Jesus is both. He is both at the same time. He is the holiest of all because he does everything we need. He tells us who God is, and he tells God who we are. Accurately, gracefully, mercifully. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Which Jesus? The Jesus who is both an apostle and a high priest of our confession, who is faithful to God. And here comes the Moses factor. Just like Moses was faithful in all God's house. Next blank. Counted honorable. After bringing up Moses, verse 3 says, Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. More honor. More esteem. You're supposed to consider Jesus because Jesus is worth more consideration than Moses. He's worth more glory than Moses. How is that so? The explanation in these verses is, as much more glory as the builder of a house has, more honor than the house itself. Every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now, Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. So we count Jesus as more honorable, and the main reason why is he deserves it. Jesus deserves more respect from you, more honor from you, and not just a little bit. And that's why he's brought up Moses here. You really can't refer to anybody who these early Jewish Christians would respect more than Moses. Moses was faithful. When millions of people were grumbling against him in the wilderness, Moses stayed faithful to God. When an entire nation and an all-powerful world ruler named Pharaoh threatened Moses, tried to browbeat Moses, tried to scare Moses, Moses was faithful to Yahweh. This guy is tough and humble and strong and faithful. And here we go. And Jesus is more faithful. What? How in the world? He brought Moses in order to build Jesus up. This is not about lowering Moses. This is about showing you, yeah, Moses was super faithful. You're keeping Moses as holy. That guy was set apart. His face was glowing from being in the presence of God. He is worthy of honor and glory. Moses, yes, but Jesus is worth more. Let's kick it up a notch. Take your eyes off of a human and put your eyes on the ultimate human, the God-man, Jesus. And you have a beautiful contrast where Jesus is the builder, Moses is the manager. Where Moses is faithful in God's house, Jesus is faithful over God's house. And I really like this little nugget. God is the builder of all things. Jesus is also the builder of all things. Just this little nugget of divinity tucked into Hebrews, showing us yet again, Jesus is the ultimate man, apostle, high priest, but he's still the Son of God. He's the builder of all things. All things are sustained by Jesus. He existed before all things. All things were made by him, by Jesus. And by saying God is the builder of all things, complimenting Jesus as the builder of all things, like, we're not just talking about a nice guy. We're talking about the only begotten, totally unique Son of God. Moses, servant, Jesus, son. Write that down. Moses testifies to the future, and then Jesus fulfills Moses' hopes. How much more honor does the son get over the servant? How much more important is it that Jesus fulfills the prophecies and the testimony of the servant? This back and forth between Jesus and Moses is a very serious attempt to shift our minds away from Judaism and into Christianity. We are not Jewish. We are followers of a Jewish Messiah. But the emphasis is not upon race or nationality. It is upon his sonship. It is upon him being the Son of God that makes him superior to Moses. Moses is very much a familial, traditional fallback. Somebody worth honor and glory. That happens all the time in all cultures and all people groups. But the purpose of the Bible, the purpose of the New Testament, and very much the purpose of Hebrews, is to take Jesus and make it really clear that he is not average. He's not even good. He is greater and holier than your wildest imaginations. And because of that, it is worth your time and effort to worship him, to honor him, to glorify him, to follow him, to die for him, to suffer for him, to pray for him, to read your Bible for him, to buy groceries for him, to wipe little baby butts for him. We do everything for him because he's put it in front of us and it needs to be done, and we do it to the glory of God, and it should transform every single thing we do because we are acknowledging we are under him. We are living for him. And though everything flows from him, all of us is flowing back to him. Like, there's this give and take. It's not just about a spiritual moment. It's about a spiritual lifestyle. It is not about a particular experience. It is about him owning every experience. Knowing that you can find God wherever you are, whatever you are doing. And he can break through your heart. Whatever you've done, whatever your past, whatever your hang-ups, he is holier. If anything you've done stopped you from worshiping God, that is your fault. He's holier than that. He's holier than your past. He wants to forgive it, and he needs you to move on. Will you stumble along the way? Oh, yeah. But can you move? You should. That's the emphasis here. Don't get hung up on Moses. Take the next step and move on to Jesus. Verse 1 talked about a heavenly calling. And by bringing up Moses and showing Jesus is better, I really get this strong impression of Christianity as leaning, stepping, moving, propelling, heading towards Jesus, pressing in. I just keep, all week I've had this. Christianity is us pressing into Jesus, pressing into our heavenly calling, leaning forward. And I say all that with this Moses to tell you something. Don't lean back. In our Christianity, we understand that we walk a narrow path. And we understand very clearly there are temptations to step off the path into sin. And for those who have been following Jesus a while, there is another temptation. Though we might be good about not jumping into sin and not stepping off the narrow road, sometimes we go backwards. Or we take a step backwards. Or we look backwards to the good old days. That is a great temptation. Great as in strong. And great as in able to paralyze you. Heavenly calling is pressing forward. Don't look back. Like Lot's wife. Not just glancing to get one last look, but stopping and actually going backwards. Yeah, I'm following Jesus still, but it used to be different. If you think something seemed better back then you've not grown much. Because God is still working and moving. Don't dwell, and that's the key word here. Don't linger and don't dwell on the good old days or on yesteryear. Because if people and experiences seem better back there, maybe those people and those experiences were your crutch. Because the Christianity I read about is moving forward, not backwards, to Jesus. For these Jews, not Moses. You see where it's coming from? Moses? What would Moses say? Pow! Go follow Jesus! Stop living on the past. I mean, Moses would vehemently oppose any of these Christians worshiping him. And yet, in our Christianity, we have fantastic pastors in our past and churches and events and parents and good old days. But if those people love Jesus, you know what they want to do to you? Kick you in the pants. Follow him. Follow him. And if you feel like you can't, maybe it's because those people, maybe your faith was in them and not in Jesus. Maybe they had Jesus and you didn't. And stop looking to other people to replace them. You replace them. If things aren't going the way you wish they would, because they're not like they used to be. Stop looking for other people to replace the saints of the past, and you replace them. You be the replacement. You be the one that somebody else can follow now. Because a lot of people want that. They want things to be different, but they want somebody else to make it different. They don't want to do it themselves. Following Jesus is going to look a little different through different people. And we can't just live in the past. That's what this message is about. Not looking to Moses, looking to Jesus. And that will transform you into the person your family and your community needs you to be right now. Will that play out with all the same experiences of the past? No, it's going to look a whole lot different. Culturally, first century Christianity was a lot different than the Judaism 2,000 years before that. A lot different. People dressed differently. They spoke different languages. They weren't eating the same foods. They weren't listening to the same music. Their entertainment was different. The world powers were different. I mean, is this ringing a bell? It happens to every single generation of Christians. We have to wrestle with this. And we're Baptists. We're really good about calling sin, sin. Stay away from lying, cheating, adultery, theft. Gluttony. Well, maybe not that one. But we have all these sins that we say, don't do this. And yet, I feel and I hear a lot of Christians, instead of pressing forward into Jesus, being the light now, are looking back saying, how can we get that light? What about Pastor so-and-so? Here's what we did when I grew up. And the danger of going backwards is simply you're not moving forwards. That's a rough place to be. These Jewish Christians have the danger of going back to Moses instead of trusting in Jesus. That is a hard place. Next blank. Dwelling on yesterday's faith means you're missing today's grace and mercy. It is Henry Blackaby who emphasizes, find where God is at work and join him. God is still working. He's not working like he used to work 20, 30, 40 years ago. He's working in new ways, through new people. And because it's through new people, they have new tendencies, new experiences, new abilities. This is why we support Operation Christmas Child. We pack shoeboxes that are filled with the gospel and filled with hope and filled with... Can you imagine never getting a Christmas present your entire life? And then you open that box. Whoa! Who is this Jesus? It is an evangelistic tool that blesses people around the world. That wasn't here 100 years ago. That's new. That's a new way to reach the world. We're going to do a food drive in a little while. Support Loaves and Fishes as they feed people in Enid. Loaves and Fishes hasn't been here forever. That's new. That's the passion of somebody else to meet the needs of people. We're going to take a missions offering for Christmas. That's sending your money around the world to help people who are out where God is at work. God is working. You need to find where he is and plug in and show up. And it's always forward. It's always moving. I love that Jesus talks about the narrow road. Let me tell you something. It's a narrow treadmill because it is always moving. Following Jesus is not just this static, boring, predictable road. Sometimes it is a treacherous, dark, rock-filled, cold valley of shadows. That's hard to follow Jesus when you can't see anything in front of you. And you're just taking step by faith, step by faith. That's the shadow of death. And he'll bring you through that. And if he can bring you through that, if he can bring Moses through dry ground of the Red Sea, if he can provide water from a rock, manna from heaven, quail out of nowhere, you think Oklahoma weather is crazy? Imagine being in that 40 years, right? It's raining quail. That's the last thing we got left on the Oklahoma checklist, okay? But seriously, like unpredictable and all that is Moses leaning, get this, Moses was leaning into the promises of God for a coming Christ. Even Moses is leaning forward into Jesus, his future hope, a perfect mediator of the covenant, a perfect prophet who is to come. Even Moses is leaning into Jesus. And even the people we think gave us the greatest faith experiences don't look back. Even they are leaning into Jesus. You want to honor anybody in your path? Lean forward, not backwards. Honor Jesus. Make him the holiest of all. And that gives us this third section, our confident hope. I didn't put this phrase in the notes, but chew on it for just a second. None of your past experiences are necessary for what God expects from you today. Nothing in your past is necessary for you to fulfill what God wants you to do today. In fact, that is why God has taken those people away from you. Because they are not necessary for your faith today. You know who is necessary for your faith today? Whoever is in your life today. Those are the people. We miss that sometimes. We miss the people right in front of us if we spend too long thinking about the people behind us. Don't miss the people in front of you. Kids, grandkids, neighbors, cousin, random coworkers, random workers at restaurants and Walmart. Don't miss the people right in front of you. Don't miss them. Confident hope. This is the conclusion. Hold on tight. Not to the past, onto Jesus. Hold on tight to what matters the most. Pressing forward by faith into Jesus. The second half of verse 6 says, "And we are his house." Jesus built it. Jesus is faithful over it. Jesus is the son of the house, and Jesus fulfills all of Moses' testimony. Hold on tight. We are the house now. So how can I know if I'm a part of this household of God? Here you go. Two ways you can know if you are part of this house. One, confidence. Our confidence is that Jesus is who the Bible says he is. Next slide. Our confidence is that Jesus is who the Bible says he is. That's what confidence. Confidence. He is who he says he is. He is who the apostles say he is. He is who God the Father says he is when he's baptized. This is my beloved son. He is who God the Father says on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Our confidence in this book is that it is telling us who Jesus is. We're confident of that. That's our confidence. And we hold it fast, meaning we cling to it. We internalize it. We personalize it. We make personal commitments to Jesus as our confidence. Our confidence is not circumstantial. We're not confident just because things are going well. We're not confident just because we feel good or are healthy. We are going to be confident in who Jesus is no matter what happens to us. That's unshakable confidence. And we hold it fast that Jesus is ultimately our confidence, our trust, is that Jesus is the only person who makes payment, propitiation, atonement for our sin. He's the only one who makes us right with God. That's faith. I have faith in that Jesus. I'm confident in that. And then hope. What is our hope? Our hope is that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God will complete our salvation as promised. God will complete our salvation as promised. So our confidence, Jesus is who he says he is, and our hope, God will keep his word to finish this thing off. Our confidence is the basis of our salvation. Our hope is that God will keep his promise and finish our salvation. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you believe he died in your place on the cross as a substitutionary death to remove the wrath of God which is over everyone who sins, when you believe that, you are saved. Past tense. When you believe that now, he's continuing to save you. But there's also a future part. You keep that faith, and he will complete your salvation. It is a dynamic faith through your whole life. And there's still a part of our faith that is not finished yet. You feel that? There's a part of you that is not quite finished yet. You ever bitten into something on the inside? Wasn't quite finished yet. Ugh. Now, some of you like your undercooked cookies, and you know, some of that's legit. I'd be, oh yeah, that's a little soft, but it's good. But I mean something raw. Looks good on the outside, and you bite into that burger, and something ain't right. If you dig hard enough and long enough into any Christian's life, you're going to hit something that's raw. Let me give you a news flash. We're not done yet. So be patient. Let God keep cooking them. Let God keep roasting them. Let God continue to work out their salvation as they work it out with fear and trembling and obedience and honoring Jesus. You who have a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Count him as the most honorable person you could ever follow. And be confident in who Jesus says he is. We have many holy saints in our past to look from, but it is essential that our hearts press into Jesus now. Lean forward into Jesus today. Are you growing up and moving forward? That's the only way you'll be of any use to the people around you. Growing up and moving forward, or have I caught you looking backwards? Stop living in the past. Live in the now. There are people in your life who need you to live for Jesus now. Not mope, not moan, not grumble, not complain, but live for Jesus now. To see that you have a hope in future things, not just a glorious past. The threat for these early Christians is looking back to Moses. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, press on. Press on to Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible open, I want you to find Philippians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. And I want to end with this. We are trying to find where God is at work, and we want to join him. We've got a lot of things going on in the next couple of months as a church, trying to find where God is at work and plug in and help other people in ways that will glorify and honor God. Philippians 1:6. I have a couple of concluding questions for you. Let me read the verse. And I am sure of this. How sure? Very confident. That he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. First question, who began your salvation? Who began it? I'm just going to say God did. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. There's no wrong answer there. Who begins the greatest work in your life of salvation? God does. And thereafter, every minor good work, God does. Who will complete that good work? God will. There you go. You're catching on. Who started it? God did. Who maintains it, keeps it, completes it? God will. And then a bit of a future question. When will he bring it to completion? What could that be? The day of Jesus Christ. She's going to mute that in a second. So, that's adorable, Karen. I lost my thought. Peace with me. Okay, what does that mean? At the day of completion, the completion at the day of Jesus Christ. When is that day? You can go eschatologically and think, well, that's the day when he comes back and establishes his kingdom. I'm going to make it a little more personal than that, because here's what I want you to write in that blank. When will he do this? At death. Have you ever thought about your death like that? If you go to a lot of funerals, you probably have, but he who began a good work in you, salvation, and every other minor work along the way, will be faithful to complete it. God will complete you. But when? When you die. God sees your death as a good thing. It is the moment when he brings you into the presence of Jesus Christ. That's what I think he's talking about. At the day of Jesus Christ, when you stand before him, you are never going to forget that day. That is a day that is going to go down in your memory as the day of all days, forevermore, after you die and stand in front of Jesus, the rest of eternity, I'm going to say, how was that day? And you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the very first time you stand in front of your risen Lord and Savior, and he says, welcome. And it's done. Your hope is realized. And Christians, we need to be living our lives like leaning into that, looking forward to that, not going backwards, not being distracted by sin, not being distracted by this world. But are you leaning into that Jesus? That's the question of this book, of this section. Not Moses, not your past, but the hope that is in Christ. Don't look back. Move forward. We have a lot of painful things in our past, some of it fresh. Move forward. Learn from the past. Glance at the past, but don't live there. Live with the people who are right in front of you now. This church body, your family, your kids. Take what you have now. Stand with me. Let's pray. Holy brothers and sisters, you who share in a heavenly calling, this morning, consider Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, think about him. Think about how strong he is. Think about how gracious he is. What a strong, kind shepherd. Think about Jesus and what he has done in your life. Consider the ways he's protected you. Consider the ways he's guided you and provided for you. Consider the many people he has brought into your life. Consider all the good things Jesus has done for you. And lean into him. Lean into your heavenly calling. Because you are not called to heaven. You are being called to Jesus. And you will never experience heaven until you experience Jesus. God, we come to you and ask you, help us to pray more. Help us to read more, to serve more, to give more. God, help us to lean and press into our heavenly calling. And teach us how to suffer well, knowing that the more we suffer, the shorter the distance between us and Jesus. Because he will end it. And what a glorious day. Help us as we enter into this holiday season to remember other people. Help us to be grateful for the people of our past, but help us to not miss the people in our present. In Jesus' name, amen.